time where the leader qualifies. Okay. Well, my name is Victor, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm abstinent today because I weigh and measure 3 meals a day off the gray sheet. I write them down, and I call them into my sponsor. And I weigh and measure without exception, and abstinence is the most important thing in my life today. And I am here by God's grace today, and I'm not confused about that. It tells us in our literature to describe what it was like and what happened and what it's like today. And I'll try to do that. For me, I grew up in a family that where food was an important part of our lives. I think I'm predisposed to this disease of compulsive eating. I have that physical allergy to certain foods, namely sugars and carbohydrates. That once I put that first bite in my mouth, I have that physical craving takes over, and the phenomenon of craving takes over, and I want more. And so I learned a long time ago that that to get right with life, that I could use food to get right, you know. And it gave me that sense of ease and comfort. I mean, there's a reason why they call it comfort food, you know. So I used it for that, and to get right with life. And I didn't bring any pictures today because, you know, I just don't. For today, I just really realized that it really doesn't matter how big I was or how small I was, and I know today that just having the mental obsession, the physical compulsion, and the spiritual malady today that I hope will come out in my story, that somebody will be able to identify. I had a low self-esteem, you know. I never felt a part of, and when I was into food, it really didn't matter. That's all I really thought about, you know, was that. And it was okay. Things that made everything okay. You know, it relieved that. It gave me that sense of ease and comfort. I was a heavy kid throughout my life, and you know, I discovered exercise and used that to help me with my weight for a long time. And the longer I used food to give me that sense of ease and comfort to get me right with life, there, you know, it says in the doctor's opinion in our book that we were maladjusted to life, and that we were in full flight from reality, and that was true for me. I did not know how to live life on God's terms. I did not know how to just live day to day without being tormented with this obsession of self. You know, what my life, you know, what's going on with me, how is everything affecting me? And so, you know, I used food for that, and it took more and more after a while, and that more and more, I got heavier and heavier, and I used exercise there for a while to get me down, and I was the chronic dieter, you know, the whole up and down thing. I've tried all kinds of things, you know. I was vegan for a long time, which means that I didn't eat any animal products, thinking that the healthy way to go would be doing that, you know. There is a solution. There's a paragraph where they describe, we've tried many ways to, you know, and for me, that was what it was, you know. Okay, well, I won't eat this food, and oh, I'll only eat this food on the weekends, or I'll only eat, you know, I'll eat healthy food that, you know, that's this type of food, but it's the healthy one, and you know, on and on through life, and that was my struggle. You know, up and down, up and down. I'd lose weight, I'd gain weight, you know, and the more I'd lose, the more I would gain, and to where my top weight would get more and more and more. But what I started noticing towards the end was that mental obsession with the food. I separated the food from the weight after a while. It was that food. You know, and that's what it is for me today, is the separation. The fat is the outer manifestation of this disease. You know, today I've been, I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. The body, I have lost my weight. I'm in goal weight. I've been in goal weight for over two years. This is a miracle for me because I've gained a little weight, but working with my sponsor, I'm able to take away food, and we're working on the weight thing, and I'm going back down to my goal weight, you know, and that is a miracle for me, because, you know, I would gain weight like that. I heard it described yet last night in a meeting where, you know, I just look at food and gain weight, and that's what it was for me. Before I came to Gracie, and this Gracie is the only thing that's worked for me to relieve that physical compulsion to eat, you know. And if I don't work the steps, it's not going to help, you know. It's just going to be another diet, and diets don't work for me. I am a compulsive overeater of the type that I have lost the choice whether I am going to eat or not, and that is the key there. You know, I have I've gone beyond that point where I can just say no. You know, the old Nancy Reagan adage there, just say no, and it doesn't work for me. I can't just say no. You know, I'm one of those people that once I stick it in there, it's that first bite, and I heard it described as that. You know, it's not the 10th or the 12th or the 14th or the whatever. It's that first one. And if I take that first compulsive bite, for me, it is all over, you know. And I have lost the choice whether I'm going to take that first bite or not. I have to give my power over to somebody else, and I have to realize that, you know, that it's not up to me. It's up to my higher power, which, you know, for me today, I realize is the key to this program, is that I have to rely on a power greater than myself, and I have to do the action in order to do God's will for me today. I have to do what's laid out in this book, you know, and that's what the message is, you know, is that I have to weigh and measure without exception. I'm not one of those people, that can go and weigh and measure at home and then go somewhere else and not weigh and measure. You know, I am one of those people who of the type that mental obsession of, did I eat too much? Did I not eat enough? What's the story here? What am I okay? Am I not okay? And even I have to ask my sponsor, am I okay? What's going on here? If I have questions about my abstinence, I call my sponsor right away and I ask her and I explain the situation. I say, you know, here's the situation. Am I cool? Because I don't know. I don't know about my own abstinence. I don't know about food. I can tell somebody else about their food, but when it comes to my food, I have no clue. And it's just like my body. I could look at myself in the mirror and go, "Wow, you're looking good." And then I could look at myself 10 minutes later and go, "Damn, what is wrong with you?" Because that is the mental obsession. And for me today, I have to work at this. This is not something that just comes. I mean, by the grace of God, I've gotten in these rooms and was able to start on the gray sheet and get a few days abstinent. But today, now, I have to do the action in order to keep what God's given me. You know? And that is what keeps me abstinent today. I have to be rigorously honest when it comes to my food. I have to be rigorously honest when it comes to my life. I don't live life on life's terms anymore. I live life on God's terms today. Because, you know, like it says in How It Works, he is the director. I am the agent. You know, I am just the follower today. And that is okay with me today. I don't want to lead anymore. And the food stopped working after a while, and it stopped being that, giving me that sense of ease and comfort. And I'm going, what's going on? Why isn't it working anymore? You know? And no matter how much I put in me, it gave me that sense of dis-ease, that restless, irritable, and discontent. And why isn't it being my friend anymore? Well, today I know that, you know, if, as a compulsive overeater, that's what happens. You know, it becomes an enemy. But it did save my life for a number of years, and I'm grateful for that. What happened was, I happened to be married to somebody who was on Gray Sheet years ago, and she introduced me to Gray Sheet because we're both compulsive overeaters, and that's an interesting thing in itself. Being, you know, you attract who you attract the people, and that's where it describes that in the book too. We attract the reality. If we don't know what's real and what's made up in our minds, and we attract the people that are like us and become part of that world. And I don't think people take this as seriously as alcoholism, but I do. It's killing people by the thousands. It is killing people. And for me today, I have to look at it that way. This is a killer, and we need to look at it that way. You know? And if you're a real compulsive overeater like me, pills, diet pills, gastric bypass, all that stuff's not going to work, because it's just going to relieve the outer manifestation. Guess what? The food's still there. It's still calling. And there's nothing that's going to say, if you're like me, there's nothing that's going to stop you from eating that food unless you take the action and work the steps. And that's the other part of that relieves the mental obsession. You know, that is the point where I have to turn and work the steps. Step one, I am powerless over food. Dash. You know, end a thought, beginning a new thought. My life is unmanageable. You know, why is my life unmanageable? Because I'm in full flight from reality, and I'm an outright mental defective. You know, because I don't know what's wrong and what's right, what's good, what's bad. I don't know these things. I never learned that. For me today, you know, by working the steps, I'm learning that. I'm learning what God's will is for me. And what God's will is for me is that's what's right today, you know. And that's what I work on today, is to consciously make that part of my life today and work to think about what God's will is for me is to work on these steps. And step two, you know, that's the solution. Finding power greater than myself. And in the beginning, it was these people in the rooms here, because you had what I wanted. I wanted to be skinny. You know, I wanted to be free from the food, and you guys had it. You know, there was people in here that had been abstinent for over 20 years, and I'm thinking, how could anybody be abstinent for over, and there were people with 90 days, and those people were fascinating to me. You know, those were the people that really got me, was the people that had short-term abstinence, because that's where I was. It's like, oh, wow, they were absent for 90 days, you know, 60 days, 30 days. Wow, that's fascinating. And for me, that's what I wanted. So I listened to what you had to say, and I was willing. There's another line in the book that says we had to be beat into the state of reasonableness. And that is the part of that for me, is that I had to be beat in the state of reasonableness. I had to be beat and be willing to do anything and be listened and to follow directions, you know? And that's, for me, is one of the things I ask a sponsee: are you willing to go to any lengths? You know, are you really willing to go to any lengths, or do you want to just do it the way you want to do it? Because I tried to do it that way for a while, and it doesn't work. You know, for me, it doesn't work. I went back and out and ate, you know, until I followed direction and did what I was told and only ate what I was told to eat. And went that way, have I found relief from the food. And, you know, and then the third step, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And for me today, you know, it's like what the chapter of the Agnostics says: God is either everything or is nothing. You know, God is either is or isn't. You make the choice. What is he to me? And for me, it's everything. You know, and I have to live that way. I have to live on a spiritual basis and recover on a spiritual basis. I'm one of the types that, you know, it describes it in the book. Where is it? On page 34, second paragraph. For those who are unable, and I'm going to substitute food for alcohol here. For those who are unable to eat moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. And that's where I had to have that desire. It doesn't matter if I don't have the desire, I'm not going to stop eating, period. You know, whether such a person can quit on a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will eat or not. Whether such a person can quit on a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent of he or she has already lost the power to choose whether he's going to eat or not. And I lost that power. And for me today, I do have a power, you know, I have a power in my life today, but it's not me. It's a power greater than myself. And how did I make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of the higher power that I know and that I understand? It's not something I made up. It's something I understand today. I understand what this power does in my life. I don't know what it is, but I certainly understand what it does in my life. I have examples every day of grace in my life today. And how do I make that decision to turn my will and my life over? I continue with the steps. And in the fourth step, I find out that my life is run by fear, resentment, harms that I've done to other people, and resentment is like the number one for me. And if I look at everything that I, even the harms that people have done to me, and I've spoken up here before and talked about my parents and all that crap. And you know what? My parents are my parents. They're who they are. They didn't choose to do what they're just who they are. And for me, what I resented was that people were doing this stuff to me. You know? Well, for me today, if I hold that against my parents or anybody who's harmed me in any way, I'm letting that resentment control my life. And I can't do that today, because then I'm going to be back in the food. For me today, I have to continue to work those steps. And resentment, in the 10th step, it talks about, and that's in page 84, it talks about the 10th step in that we have to continue to take personal inventory, and I have to look at my, I have to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God to, at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we are, have been harmed. And I've been doing that like on a regular basis, you know, because that for me is the key to the 10th step, you know. I ask God to remove this resentment. I don't know what it is, but I used to shine that on. Oh yeah, prayer, whatever, you know. But today, I get down on my knees every morning, you know, and I have no clue what I'm praying to, but I know it's working for me today, and that's an incredible thing for me. I've had the spiritual awakening, you know, that I thought people were just making up. I have truly had that from the result of these steps, you know. And for me today, I've been just looking at my life instead of looking at the food and thinking that the food is the problem. The food is part of the problem. I am the problem. The main part of this disease centers in the mind and what my life is like. I'm a selfish, self-centered person, you know. And until I get out of myself, I have no hope. And for me today, that's what I try to do on a daily basis. I do service, you know. I go to meetings, I set up meetings, I chair meetings, I sponsor, because this gets me out of myself. When I hear somebody call up and they're struggling with trying to get day one, it helps me get out of myself and my little problems. And my problems are petty compared to the person that is new and trying and struggling with the food and struggling with the weight and wondering where is the answer. You know, for me, my problems are just, you know, luxury problems. You know, when am I going to have a vacation? You know, things like that. So I have to constantly working on that conscious contact with my higher power. I do meditate in the morning, and for me it's just sitting quietly and trying to listen to what my higher power has to say for me today, and doing what I'm told. And then, you know, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, trying to carry this message. What's the message for me? That for me, the gray sheet works. And then by following direction, the gray sheets work for me. I've been absent since April 18th of 2001. And I have been absent in the hospital. And when I was in the hospital, I called my sponsor at every meal and I said, this is what I'm having, because I wasn't sure what I was going to have. There was a day where I didn't have anything, and I had to surrender that. I had to surrender to the fact that I was going to be able to eat, you know. And I surrendered that, and the obsession of that food for that day had been lifted. And I was grateful, you know, that I was not going to be deprived. And then every meal I said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to have. This is the only thing I can eat today. And then I couldn't eat all of it, so I had to call. And that's the whole thing for me. That's my abstinence, is being able to surrender what I need to do to somebody else. And for me, when it comes to the physical food and the physical plane, my sponsor is my higher power when it comes to that. You know, when it comes to mental obsession and the spiritual malady, my higher powers is my higher power that's not of this room. You know, no human power. And God does speak to me through other people, and I have to be listening, you know. But I sometimes choose to make words my higher power, and what other people say my higher power, instead of using it as a tool and saying, okay, I understand what you're coming from. This is what I need to do. For me today, you know, I'm grateful to have what I have. If you're new today, I say just keep coming. And if you didn't hear what I hear what you needed to hear from me, you'll hear it from somebody else. And that, and if you're been here for a few days and you're struggling with trying to figure out what this is all about, you know, get yourself a big book, get yourself a sponsor, and hopefully they'll be able to steer you in the right direction. And for me today, I have to be of service. I have to be here and set up chairs, even if it's just that. You know, I'm noticed, we were talking earlier, and I noticed that there's not a whole lot of people signed up to do this, you know. What's up with that? You know, that's, for me, that's, I came here and I set up chairs because that was the only thing that would keep me absent. And so if you're not a compulsive overeater, if you're just a disco dieter coming in, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to lose a few pounds, head out the door, you know, then you're not a compulsive overeater. If you're a real compulsive overeater, then, you know, I think, for me, I have to be grateful for what I have and to be able to give back. And if it means just setting up chairs, then that's what it's going to be. If it means just putting the chairs away at the end of the meeting, then that's what it's going to be. If it means just sitting there and being present in the meeting, then that's what it's going to be. And I think that's important. And I have to get out of myself and realize that I've been given a gift and that I need to give it to other people. And that just by being here and being present in the meeting, it shows that it works. And I'm going to get off my high horse. And that's all I got to say. Okay.